Գունգթրեք SBS հայերենը.
We're entering the seventh week of lockdown in Melbourne, and in other states and territories, there are local restrictions to curb the spread of COVID-19. Dr. Zareg Azaryan is with us to give his perspective and views on the situation. Dr. Zareg Azaryan is a senior lecturer in politics and international relations at Monash University. Dr. Zareg, welcome to SBS Armenian.
Pleasure to be with you. Thanks for having me, Vahe.
Last time we spoke in June was about politics, branch stacking in the Labour Party. Now we're back to corona politics again. What a year it's been, 2020.
It has been an extraordinary year. It's something that no one expected, Vahe, of course. We had the federal election last year, and we were thinking that 2020 would be a year where the national government would be implementing policies and planning, putting the groundwork for the next federal election. Of course, things have changed and things have been out of the control of all governments. But it has been very interesting to see how the Australian system of politics and government works in practice, where the states have become so important and have had such power and influence over what people can do and can't do, and of course, in doing so, having a significant role to play in the economic future of the country as well.
In Victoria, lockdown 4 continues with minor changes. There is growing anger in the public, but the government continues its chosen path. Daniel Andrews is behaving like there is no opposition and he's got full support of the Labour Party. So what's the current political and COVID-19 situation in Victoria?
I think the situation in Victoria is very interesting because we are seeing a government and premier putting in the harshest lockdowns, probably definitely the harshest lockdowns we can see across the country. And we're getting mixed messages in terms of how the broader community is responding. In terms of the Premier's performance, opinion polls are coming out saying that voters are generally supportive of his position and his overall performance during the lockdown period. There was an opinion poll that was published a few days ago now, and it showed 70% of Victorians continue to think that the Premier is doing a good job on this. But there's been other data that has been coming out, and this one was strategically leaked by the opposition, showing that their own opinion polling was showing that the Labour Party was in a lot of trouble and might lose many seats if an election was held in this period. So there's conflicting issues, conflicting stories coming out, And of course, we just won't know in Victoria what the true nature is, because our next election is due in November 2022, which seems like such a long time to go from now.
So what's the situation with Victorian opposition? We don't see any opposition in Victoria.
I think that's the frustrating thing. That would be frustrating many coalition voters at the moment. They would be frustrated that there's an opportunity for the opposition, for the coalition to be more forceful and to be stronger in its attacks on the government. But for whatever reason, they're unable to put these strong attacks forward. I suspect part of the story is in the coalition itself, in the Liberal Party especially, which still appears to have deep divisions. We had the former leader, opposition leader, Matthew Guy, make a speech in Parliament that has been circulated on social media and has been viewed roughly 1 million times. But it doesn't seem to feature on any official Liberal Party channels or websites. Again, this suggests that there's some contest of ideas in the Liberal Party. Is positioning itself more of a right, centre-right party or more of a centrist party? And I think within the organisation itself, they're also having troubles in terms of issues concerning fundraising and policy direction. So for the opposition at the moment, you get this sense that they might just be letting a golden opportunity to be on the front foot slip through their hands.
And the financial cost of months of hard lockdown will be immense. Does the Victorian government have any strategy for the financial future of the state?
I think at this stage, the concern is to ward off and protect the state from going into an economic collapse. And the longer these restrictions go on, the harder that is to come out of. The silver lining in Victoria is that it is a significant place of economic activity in Australia. It is roughly a quarter of the national economy, suggesting that if these restrictions were to come back, if they were to be wound back, then the jobs, then the investment, then business as usual would start on the path. It wouldn't bounce back as some have forecast, but it would start the path to getting back to normal. And we can say this with some confidence, because the states that have gone back to normality in this period, including South Australia, for example, demonstrating that the economy can recover fairly quickly. So the key is to get through this period. The key is to ensure that we don't go back into this harsh lockdown. And from there, we expect the economy to improve.
Across the border last week, the New South Wales government came very close to implode. What's happening with the coalition government in New South Wales? Was the main issue about koalas, or there are other underlying fractures?
That's an interesting story that developed in New South Wales politics. A very odd decision by the National Party to suddenly threaten to leave the coalition. And in doing so, ultimately bring down the government. There's deep divides, and we're seeing these in many democratic countries. But the New South Wales case is showing us that deep divide between the inner metropolitan-based politicians and political ideals compared to those in rural and regional areas. And the National Party, which represents those rural regional areas, was of the view that the government was no longer representing their constituents' interests. And so they thought the best thing to do would be to threaten to walk out on the government. They didn't. Gladys Berejiklian, the Premier, called their bluff, essentially, and left the Nationals with a bit of egg on their face. So it was an odd stunt at an odd time over an odd issue, but clearly the New South Wales Premier has the support of the important people in her party, and the majority of her supporters would be celebrating that she's been able to stare down the Nationals' threat.
And Dr. Zare, you mentioned about the way states and territories are behaving more forcefully. So what is the question with hard borders within Australia? It's been discussed and reported and debated for months. As Australians, we enjoyed our freedom to travel within Australia, but now we see the reality of hard borders between states and territories. And it looks like every state and territory put themselves first and the nation second. So what's the reality behind the border or state politics?
Yes, it reminds us of how Australian politics was before Federation. Before 1901, each state was a colony, and it was responsible for its own borders. And what we're seeing in this coronavirus period is a return to that idea of each state will ensure that it has strong borders and controls who comes in and out of its area. I think a very interesting example of this, of course, is Queensland. The Queensland government has put in place a very hard border and is seemingly inflexible. And this is attracting a lot of criticism for the Premier there. And what we can see from opinion polls is suggesting that this might affect her party's performance at the next state election. Queensland's a very interesting one, of course, because they have a state election that is due in 6 weeks. So it's going to be the first state where voters will be able to cast judgment on the performance of their government in the coronavirus era. So what happens in Queensland will have an opportunity for people in New South Wales and Victoria and other states to learn from, especially political tacticians. We'll be looking at what happens in terms of who votes for what party and for what reason.
Dr. Zare, thank you for sharing with with us your views about the current situation in Australia. We'll meet again soon, hopefully in better circumstances.
I look forward to that. Thanks for having me.
Our guest was Dr. Zareh Azaryan, a senior lecturer in politics and international relations at Monash University. Kuzes lsel nma batmtuner kungntre Apple podcasti, Google podcasti, Spotify-a, gam urdegen vor podcast-et klses.